today. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, we'll pick it up here in verse 31. And I'm so glad that I'm in church this morning. So glad you're here. Amen. Let's stand chapter 26, verse 31, and let's ask the Lord to help us, and we'll get right to the reading of the Word of God. Father, we come before you this morning and realize, Lord, how great you are and how unworthy we are. As the psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Why you would even think of us? The Bible has words that the Holy Spirit gave the writers, sinners, transgressors, iniquitous, in darkness, blind, without God, without Christ, without hope. Father, we think of ourselves and just like the song we sang this morning, last one, when I survey the wondrous cross. I mean, we're nothing, Lord. I think most of us realize that today. And we are what we are by the grace of God. And that's why the only hope we have is us applying to thy mercy. Just like the teaching Jesus gave about the publican down the temple. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would do a great work in this place. Father, we need you. We need your help. We need light. We need understanding. We need you to deal with the unsaved. And Father, I pray that there be people who come to Christ today because they understand that their hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and his righteousness. They have nothing of themselves to offer but their sin. Lord, lead us today. Help us do a great work in our midst. Revive the saints and convert the lost. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 31, the scriptures say, Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I'll go before you in Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, This night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. Then came Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, finding them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand when the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Thank you. May be seated. If you follow the context of this chapter, the disciples in verse 30 have just sung a song, and they went out into the night. They had been partakers of the Lord's Supper, a scene that seemed joyous, peaceful, maybe what we entitle the calm before the storm. And our text opens in verse 31 and 32, and our Lord prophesies here, and he makes a statement. He said, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So we see the Lord's prophecy and the fulfillment of prophecy of Zechariah 13:7. And it prophesied of Christ's arrest, the disciples fleeing. And our Lord says these things, which speaks of his omniscience. Second of all, you see the forsaking. Our Lord prophesied that all the disciples would flee for their lives. Over the book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 50, and they shall all forsook him and fled. So we see the Lord's omniscience. We also see the disciples' ignorance. Now, God knows everything, beloved. There's nothing that God is surprised about. And nothing has ever happened where God says, oh, I didn't know that. God knows everything about anything and every possibility. Because he's an omniscient God. That's why he says to us, cast all your care upon me. Why? He knows everything. And he wants you to trust him. He wants me to trust him. We see, second of all, the apostles' pride. Now, the Lord has just laid out for the disciples what's going to happen, using the scripture to establish all things. Notice Peter's response here in verse 33 and 35. The Bible says, and Peter answered, said to him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now, beloved, Peter is not in the right way right now. He's not thinking right. He's not walking humbly with God. He just heard the Son of God that all will be offended. He said, no, not I. You made a mistake, Lord. Close, but you forgot I'm not going to be offended. And then verse 35, the Bible says, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. Now, 11 of them are accusing the Lord Jesus Christ of being wrong. Now, take your Bibles, please, and go to put a marker there. We'll be right back. Go with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And notice, if you would, please, verse 37. John 13 and verse 37. And the Bible says, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Now here again our Lord says in the Gospel of John, he says also in Luke, that Peter was going to deny him before that cock crows three times. There's going to be a great denial. Now, Peter and the disciples all make great promise to the Lord, not to deny. They promised one another, we're going to die with Jesus. Jesus is wrong when he's saying about us. Yet it had no spiritual foundation whatsoever. Here, Jesus could not lie, cannot lie. He's the eternal God. He's the very Son of God, God the Son. He always was and always will be. He calls himself the I Am, the one who is the self-existent one that becomes everything we need. And yet we find here that there's no spiritual foundation, no substance. It was pure flesh, pure pride. I'm going to do this. We're going to do this. That's not true. We're going to take it. You know, we need to be careful, beloved. We need to be careful what we say and why we say it. Amen? Because we can say things that are just prideful. I know I've done that too many times. Be careful what we say. Think about what the scriptures say. And then what should be my response? We find here, Peter was filled with self-confidence. That was one of his problems. Very common human problem. Amen? And he said, I'd go to prison for thee. I'll never forsake thee. I'm going to die for thee. But in reality, we find that he reacts, cuts off Malchus's ear. He follows afar off. He mingles with the world. He denies the Lord, and he winds up cursing and swearing that night of his denial. So Peter and the disciples, so confident, and yet they contradict what the Lord says. He said that you're going to all forsake me. And they said, we're never going to forsake me. We're never going to forsake me. You know, the time may come, beloved, in our day and age. I know that the media doesn't promote this, but I believe the scriptures do. It may come a time we're going to have to take a stand. It may be life-threatening. It may include jail time. It's easy now when you have your freedom to do pretty much what you want to do, to say, I'll never forsake them. But you know what we should be praying? We should be praying that, God, may I never forsake me. May I take my stand. May I do your will. May I be bold in the Lord. Now, the Bible, let's go back to our text in chapter 26 of Matthew, where Jesus said, all men shall be offended. And Peter says, yet, in verse 33, yet will I never be offended. What did Jesus say? See, this is why it's so important to live according to God's word. I live by the faith of the Son of God. This is what God wants us to do. He says here in verse 25, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Now, man's wicked pride, which contradicts God's very word here. No, Lord, no. You made a mistake here. I'm never going to forsake you. Oh, we're never going to forsake you, Lord. We're going to all the way. And yet God commands us that today is the day of salvation. Yet we say, I can't be saved today. That's not what the scriptures say. That's not what the scriptures say. God says today's the day of salvation. Well, not today, preacher. I just don't feel it like, you know, it has to be a certain setting. Oh, now what chapter and verse is that? What chapter and verse says it has to be a certain setting? You want us to put some stained glass windows in? Want us to light some incense to make it a little bit more religious? You want us to hang up some crosses? Would that do it for you? People have been saved on the side of the road. People have been saved in cars. People have been saved in the woods. People have been saved in church buildings. People have been saved at home. People have been saved everywhere. You don't have to have a certain setting. It's whosoever will may come, the Bible says. Yeah, we say, I can't be saved today. I don't feel right. So where's that verse of Scripture about feeling right? Where's that? You think the thief on the cross felt right? He had just been beaten. He was nailed to a cross. Large spikes through his hands, his feet. He was suffering. He was suffocating. And he was saved. To make excuses. I don't know if it'll work. What do you mean you don't know if it'll work? If you're trusting God to save you, it works every time. The problem is we stick ourselves in it. We trust ourselves. Am I saying it the right way? Do I have the right punctuation marks? Is it the right tone? I need maybe a little bit more sorrowful. Maybe I need to work up some tears. That has nothing to do with it. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. It is a heart matter. Say, preacher, my problem is I don't have faith. Well, let me tell you what that is. That is pure unbelief. And you have unbelief because you make statements like, I just don't understand. What's there not to understand? I mean, think about how simple the gospel is. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. What did he do? Someone tell me. He died for what? Our sins. According to what? Not Peter, the apostles, not the Old Testament prophet, not according to Randy, not according to me. According to the scriptures. What God has said. He was buried. Is that hard to understand? He was placed in the tomb for 3 days and it was sealed. The Bible says on the third day he what? What does that mean? He resurrected. He came out of the tomb. He actually rolled the stone away, not for him to get out, but for us to see in, that he wasn't there. Amen. So we find here, these are all excuses. I can't be saved. I don't feel right. I don't know if it'll work. It will work. God's not a liar. You lied, I've lied. God's never lied. He cannot lie, the Bible says. Cannot. He cannot. Everything he says is right. Everything he says is true. So when you say, I don't know if it's going to work, here's what you're saying. I choose not to believe what the Bible says. That's what you're saying. I don't need to make a perfect comparison by any more, by this illustration. But you know, in another month, beloved, you'll be going out for an Italian ice once in a while. Is that not good? Amen? It's coming. I know snow's coming, but Italian ices are coming. And you're going to walk up there, and they're going to have a sign of like a 300 different flavors. You go up there, you look at it, it says, lemon-flavored ice. I don't know. I don't know if that's lemon. You lean over and say, what is it really? It's lemon. You know, that yellow lemon. And there's sugar and there's sugar-free. Explain that to me. What if it means what it says? And if God says today's the day of salvation and you don't get saved, that's your fault. Because God is waiting there with open arms. He said, whosoever will may come. That's why he's troubling your heart, so that you repent, so you believe the gospel. That's why he stayed after you. So I've been here all these years. Who cares how long you've been here? Repent! That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Turn to God. Believe the gospel. Make that choice to believe. Make that choice to believe. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. So we find here where God's word is very plain about this. I don't know if God loves me. What does the Bible say? Anyone know what the Bible says about God's love? Someone tell me. Bernie? Wow. Now how long is everlasting? Longer than you and I have been alive. Amen? He'll save us. Yet the scriptures are saturated with verses that encourage these things and support these things and so on. Again, God's word says, you know, that God loves us. Jesus paid for us our sins. God wants us. He is searching for us. He is troubling us. He's drawing us to be saved. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Read John one more time? Read, must Jesus be Lord and be Savior one more time? Why don't you just obey one time and be saved? See, the Bible tells us that God tells us to study the Word, yet we don't read it. He says to pray without ceasing. We don't pray. God's Word says all things are possible with God if we just believe. And we don't believe God. God's Word commands us to be filled with the Spirit. And yet too many saints walk around filled with self. And God's Word says that we ought to do God's will. And yet we design and follow our own path. And God's Word commands us to be light and salt and testimonies for Christ. And yet we hinder the cause of Christ by our pride and our selfishness and our will. Not the way God wants us to live. Pride must be separated from, it must be searched out in our lives. It must be rooted out. It must be mortified. It must be repented of. We must, at all cost, clothe ourselves with humility. Trust in God in all these things. See, again, it doesn't matter what God commands us to do. We to live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So the first thing we see now is in verse 37, verse 39. And we find here when the Bible says he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, began to be sorrowful, very heavy. And then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face, prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not as I will, but as thou wilt. So we find our Lord's sorrow and our Lord's condition. And the Bible tells us here, sorrow speaks of deeply grieved, extremely sad, intensive grief. The Bible says very heavy, means to be troubled, much distress, sore trouble. Why? Why would Jesus Christ experience these things? Deeply grieved, sorrow, very heavy, very troubled, and so on. Why? Because of man's sin. That's it. because of your my sin, the sin of all of God's human creation. The Bible tells us that Jesus died for our sins. We say that, but lots of times we don't grasp it. Think about how sin has caused you. Myself, think about this now. Sorrow. Trouble. Grieving. A broken heart. Distress. Our Lord was not going to substitute Himself for just anyone. He did it for you. He did it for me. Let that sink in, beloved. Here He was in the garden, and I believe the Bible tells us about the sweat of blood. There was such pressure, such a concern, such burden. I believe Jesus was thinking about the cross. He was thinking about glorifying the Father. I think He was thinking about becoming sin for us and knew no sin. Dying in our place, dying for us, dying for our sins. Who? The God-man Christ Jesus. The mediator between God and man. The Holy One. The one without sin. Our great High Priest. The Son of God, the Lamb of God. Without blemish, without spot, will now become sin for us. And let's stop and think about this overwhelming thought. The innocent one. The one who could not sin became sin for us. Dying in our place, dying for us. I mean, it's an overwhelming thought. Turn with me, please, to Luke 22. And look at this verse here, in the 22nd chapter of Luke, and verse 44, please. Verse 44. And the Bible says, in verse 44, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, I'm in verse 42. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthened him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. What was he? In agony. Where was he at this time? Where was he? In the garden. He hadn't even gone to the beating he was about to receive. He didn't have the thorns crushed upon his head. He was just in the garden praying, knowing the agony that was before him. He was in agony. Our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, which means an olive mill or olive press, a place to trot out to crush the olives for olive oil. And it was the beginning of our Lord's suffering. The book of Isaiah 53:3, He is despised, rejected men, a man of sorrows. And normally we don't think of Jesus that way, but that's how God describes Him. For this time the crowds pressed upon Him. He went without rest. The multitudes found Him. Now Jesus has just 11 left. 7 left outside the gate, 3 within the garden, Peter, James, and John. They enter into this garden with Him, and there's no record of Jesus laughing. We find here words to describe the Son of God. How many times do we find Him grieving over sin, over death, sadness, shedding tears. He shed tears at Lazarus' grave. He shed tears over Jerusalem. Our Lord knew sorrow and grief like no other because He perfectly comprehended sin and the results of sin and the damnation of sinners. That's why the Bible, these words just cry out that He's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any should, but that all should come to repentance. That's why today that every lost person in this room right now could be saved. That's not abstract thinking. That's not pie in the sky. That is what the Bible says. That if you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He'd save you right now. You can enjoy the rest of the sermon. Philip Bliss, the great songwriter said, "Man of Sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came." Listen to this terminology. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen. You would say, "Preacher, my life is ruined. I've made a mess of things. My life is not right. I'm a sinner." Let me tell you, just like the songwriter wrote, ruined sinners to reclaim. Isaiah 53:4, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." How many times? How many times God has done that for me personally? And then you think about the multitudes who've been saved since Adam and Eve. And there He is carrying their sorrows. What a great Savior. What a great Lord that we can cast all our care upon Him. Not you, lost friend, but those who are saved. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Who smote Him? God did. Why? Verse 5, "He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities." Not His own. He had none. For ours. Those who are at enmity with God. The sinner. All men. He did this for all sinful men. All rebellious. All selfish, self-seeking men. All who are self-willed men. So we should meditate upon this. See, that's why the cross is so powerful. The cross is so powerful because it puts things in perspective. It puts things right. God says to love life, and we should love it. But I want you to know today that we need to think about the cross. What Jesus did on that cross. What He did so that you and I could know His Father. He died to bring us to God. You see, our Lord's condition, sorrowful, very heavy. Second of all, our Lord's command. He says back here in chapter 26 and verse 38, chapter 26, verse 38, the Bible says, "Then saith He to them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me." Now think about this with me, if you would. That I realize that some people have said, "Could you come over? I need to talk to you. I just need some help, some guidance, some comfort. I know if I'm thinking right." Here Jesus is about to go to the cross and die for their sins, the sins of all the world. He said, "I'm exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with Me." I'm not faulting the disciples. I may have done the same thing. But just goes to show you sometimes how insensitive we can be. Not only to God, but to our fellow man. See, God wants us to be people of compassion. People of mercy. People of grace. People who care. So many times we can be so hard-hearted and indifferent to what's going around. "Well, preacher, that's the world." Well, we're not of the world. Maybe that's your problem. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you're just like the world. But that's not reality, my friend, what the world is. That's fantasy land. That's the kingdom of darkness. That's not Christ-like. So it's hard to be Christ-like and in this world. If you're saved, beloved, there's a power within you of the Holy Spirit that makes you an overcomer. And you don't have to be overcome by the world. You can overcome the world. Jesus says, "Watch with Me." What an invitation. To what? To watch with Jesus. Think of the great invitation our Lord has given to the disciples. An invite to His work, to His labor, to be co-laborers with Jesus. Watch with Me. Do you know, I believe today that we can still watch with the Lord. I think if we would get our eyes off ourselves, off our material, off our money, off our things, off our idols, I believe we'd be far more in tune with what's going on around us and around the world. I think it's so important, beloved. Have you prayed about this situation going on with Russia? Have you prayed for the United States? I just heard a little bit of thing. What was it? Was it basketball last night? Was that what it is? Tune into that. Not against sports. But beloved, there's some devastating things. Do you realize there's a naval warship, a nuclear warship at Cuba from Russia facing us? What do you think they put that there for? Because of Peru? Bolivia? Guatemala? They are there because of the United States. I said, but we're the United States, preach. We've got this defense system. Have you not been following the news? Do you realize how many officers have been removed from the military? Nuclear war officers. The ones who turn the key and press the button. Gone. It's decimated. What is taking place? Said, in our government? The United States? We're not the World War II United States anymore, beloved. So many people are just absolutely, all they know is what's being sold at Macy's. You need to tune in and watch with Jesus. There's people that need to be prayed for. There's countries that need to be prayed for. Situations that need to be prayed for. Bangladesh, Pakistan, Long Island, New York City. There's cultures that need to be prayed for. That we need to intercede. But see, if we're so wrapped up in the temporal, the foolishness, and maybe we'll get this off my chest while I'm at it. People spending time on YouTube looking up funny things. I realize there's nothing wrong with good humor. I like good humor. Both good humors. I abstain from one. But the bottom line, that's what you have time. Have you prayed for the world? Have you prayed for your missionaries? The work of this church? And you have time to fiddle around with YouTube looking for someone to fall off and bang their head on the ground or something? You see how frivolous, how simple, how worldly, how temporal we can be? Jesus asked him, watch with me. Just an hour. Just watch with me an hour. They did not. We find here where the Bible goes on and tells us in Matthew 24:42, watch therefore, you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Bible tells us in Acts 20, verse 29 and 31, about watching for false prophets, those who devour the house of God, who are wolves. Watch for them. Colossians 4, 2, watch with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. 1 Peter 4, 7, the Bible tells us, as a matter of fact, turn there for us. I want you to see this. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. Are you with me this morning? 1 Peter 4 and verse 7. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 7 about watching. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore what? And watch unto prayer. Now again, God says to love life. We're to enjoy life. We're to enjoy God's creation. We're to enjoy one another. We're to enjoy fellowship. We're to enjoy food. We're to enjoy our company. We're to enjoy fun. There's a place for all these things. But ours is a frivolous age. Ours is a frivolous. Hey, it's an age that doesn't want to solve problems. And it starts in Washington, D.C. How is it that our president and his wife are friends with that filthy woman, Beyonce? How is that possible? What would you think of my wife and I, we had a real close friend like that? You say something doesn't add up here. Especially in the black culture. You would think that they would lead thee by example and saying, this is not what you need. You don't need premarital sex. You don't need drugs. You don't need rap music. Well, that's how black people really identify. I feel sorry for black people like that and white people like that. A dopey Eminem. I feel sorry for people like that are so filthy and so guttural and so hardened and miss out on the blessings of life, marriage, family, loved ones, friends, the fellowship with the Lord, church, all these wonderful things God has provided, and all they can do is use filthy four-letter words and attack women and treat them like they're some kind of piece of garbage. And there's our president promoting that, and our Congress promoting it. See, we don't want answers. They don't want answers. Still haven't closed the border. You with me? We need to be watching, beloved. Not worrying. I'm not worried. You need to be watching so we can pray. So we can fulfill a need. So we can be a help. So we can be a blessing. Jesus observed. He watched. How many times we find that in the Gospels? How many times He commands us to do that in the Word of God? We find here again we're watching with prayer. In this instance, that Peter should write such a thing. Wonder where he learned it. He learned it by sleeping in the garden. I'm not faulting Peter. I'm just saying what happened. We see our Lord's condition, our Lord's command. And now, second of all, our Lord's supplication. Notice back in our text here in verse 39. The Bible says here in verse 39, he went a little further, fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father." And then we find here again, verse 42, he went away again the second and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Verse 44, again, he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. This was not vain repetition, beloved. This was a burdened person, a burdened man, a broken-hearted Savior. So focused on the divine work at hand. God is not interested in people saying prayers, beloved. God is interested in heartfelt, deep, serious communication. Heartfelt, from the bowels of our emotions, a prayer from the depth of our souls. Now notice our Lord's prayer here. We find in verse 39... He went a little further, fell on his face, prayed, saying, we find here, verse 41, verse 44, what does he do? He's groanings. Deep within. Surrender. Sincere burden. Belief. We find his cry, and then we find his cup. The cup of iniquity. Why is it called the cup? Our Lord had no sin in his own nature. He could not sin. He was completely holy. His nature is holy. So the Father made Jesus drink the cup which contained the sins of all mankind. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Isaiah 53:6, "The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." 1 Peter 2:24, "Who His own self bore our sins in His body on the tree." How? By drinking the cup. The Savior hung there on Roman nails upon the cross. He appeared before God as if He committed every one of these sins. Understand that today. And when the Father looked upon Jesus, He had to turn away. Because there Jesus took upon Him every transgression, every sin, every iniquity, every rebellion, every insurrection, every impurity, every lie, every adultery and murder and idolatry and foul words and vulgar words and immoral acts and acts of thievery and covetous acts and desires and uncleanness and acts of witchcraft and covetous acts and every sin and every wrong and every selfish act and every drug and drunkenness and abomination and lie, every deception, everything that man could do, he drank from that cup. We cannot understand nor imagine the hideousness. Picture such a thing. The scene that had taken place in the darkness when God allowed the whole world to become dark as this holy transaction was taking place. He suffered physically. Now he's suffering spiritually. It was so hideous that Jesus cried out after the Father turned away. I mean, there was crying, there was suffering, there was a pain of sins. And that's why we find Jesus cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there he was on the cross, all alone. All alone. With your rebellion and my rebellion and the rebellion of the world upon him. As if he had done it. That's why I said, Father, if it be possible. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done. You know why Jesus said that? He was afraid. Jesus hates sin. God hates sin. Jesus is holy. The Godhead is holy. And there Jesus became your sin and my sin. Beloved, please listen to me. We're going to close in just a moment, but I want you to listen to me. I think it would do all of God's people wonders to remember how Jesus suffered for our sins. It would cause us to take our sins a little bit more serious. What I just thought, what I just said, what I just did, what I just desired, we would put Jesus on the cross. Lost person, understand that everything that you've done wrong and is yet to be forgiven, Jesus paid for those sins so you could be forgiven. But remember, we don't take sin lightly. We shouldn't be flippant with it. How can you not repent? How can you say no to Jesus? So we see our Lord's sorrow, our Lord's supplication, then our Lord's strength in verse 45 of chapter 26. And the Bible says, then cometh he to his disciples and saith to them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Now our Lord is set on Calvary. He's ready to lay down his life. Judas, the high priest, the soldiers were at the gate. And yet the Savior is ready. The disciples were not. Their father went far off. In their hearts already. But notice the steps to spiritual trouble. There's self-confidence. Well, preacher, you know, you have to be assertive in this world. No, you have to be humble, God says. He'll exalt you in due time. Well, I want people to know about me. Jesus said, lose your life. Notice the steps, your self-confidence, carnal slumber, reason weariness, insensitivity to the seriousness of the Lord's cross and to the sorrow of the Lord. The flesh. God, help us to get rid of it. Help us to be Spirit-filled Christians. That be dominated by the Holy Spirit. Be empowered by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Not allow ourselves to be so slothful and indifferent to the work our Master has called us to. There's a great book that was written by A.W. Tozer titled, God Will Tell the Man Who Cares. And he will. We need more caring Christians. I'm not talking about this sloth from the world. I'm talking about spiritually caring people. I'm not talking about people crying over, Bobo the seal or the squirrel that got hit on the side of the road. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real compassion for souls, for the lost, for sinners going into eternity. Self-will, not God's. Sin. These are all reasons. Spiritual trouble. The opposite of victory. We need God confidence. Why? God said and that settles. I'm doing what God says. Spiritual vigilance. Resisting temptation. Submission to God. This all equals victory over sin. Next week we'll see Jesus and the trial that took place. Oh, the cross. The wondrous cross. That's where revival is. That's where victory is. That's where the fire of God's people is found. the cross of Jesus Christ. Where are you, child of God? You've been walking with the Lord? Are you right with God? Are you rejoicing in the Lord? Are you yielded to Him? Are you surrendered to Him? I'm asking today to get that right with the Lord. We can't afford time off, days off, weeks off. We all need to be in the action. Where are you, lost person? Can you not see what Jesus did for you? And then you're going to say, I don't know if God loves me. I don't know if it'll work. Tell me one person who came to Jesus understanding the gospel that did not get saved. Name one. There was none. The rich young ruler, he loved his riches. He loved his riches. That's why he went away sorrowful. The multitudes, there's always a reason. Cares this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. But you come to God as a sinner that needs to be saved. Believing in Jesus and Him alone. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved in thy household. You need to come. Don't put it off. Don't say, I'm going to eat something first and then get my mind off and then come. Come now. Come while you hear His voice. Harden not your heart. Say, I don't know if I want to do it right. You'll do it right. Just talk to God from your heart. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Let's stand on our feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and no one looking around, and we invite God's people first to come.